How many of you finishing strong with the Advent reading? Okay, that wasn't as good as the next. See, right? Oh, next year we'll read. This year, come on. How many are finishing strong? Okay. Well, I'm glad. I hope you have. I hope you've enjoyed it. Did you read today's? I had read it before, but then I read it again today, and it was really interesting because I recognized when I read it, I was like, whoa, this kind of ties into part of what the message is about this morning. And I got tape on me. And I'm going to read it in case you haven't read it this morning. It's one of my favorite parts of Scripture. You know, people ask me a lot of time, what's your favorite scripture? I say, I don't have one favorite scripture. There's a lot that I have. I have maybe a top, you know, whatever scriptures. This happens to be one of them. Now, Jesus did many things. This comes from John chapter 20. Now, Jesus did many things, did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. How do you know God? Think about that for a moment. I know I didn't believe there was a God for many years of my life. But I thought there had to be something out here because I knew this didn't happen by a big bang. It's just like, nah, that never computed in my brain. So I didn't know what was out there. I figured something was out there, and, you know, I wanted to know the truth. And I asked what was ever out there. You know, if you're real, I want to know. And God began to reveal himself to me in response to that cry of my heart. I can't even call it a prayer. It was a prayer, but I didn't know it was a prayer at that time. But it was a cry of my heart. To want to know the truth, want to know if there was a God out there, wants to know if there's somebody who put this all together. And but how do you know someone who's big enough to do all this, to put it all together? Someone who's bigger than the universe. And how big is the universe? Well, you know what they keep saying? It's still expanding, they say. I mean, it's vast. And if somebody did it, they got to be bigger than it, right? They got to be greater than it. I was like, wow, how do you know something or someone who is unknowable? You really can't. You really can't. But God wants us to know him, and he's given us evidence about himself, and primarily God has done it through his word, through the scriptures. There are reasons to believe. There are evidences to our faith. It's not just a blind, people say, oh, it's just a blind leap of faith. You have to just, no. God gave us evidences. And as we heard in that scripture this morning, Jesus did so many other things, not only when he was on this earth, but Jesus who has existed from all eternity has done so many things. But what was recorded, what we have written down, what we do know about him, because he has revealed it to us, is given to us for the purpose that we might believe not only that there's a God, but believe how we have been separated from that God because of our sin, and then to believe that the same God came into this world and did the things he did, but he didn't do those just to do some stuff. He did it to give his life for us so that when we would believe upon him and his finished work on the cross, we would have eternal life in his name. Amen. Pretty cool stuff. And if you read the rest of what Mr. Piper writes here in this book, in this devotional, he says, how we, even us who know this story, who believe this story, how we tend to minimize that story or kind of go cold to that story or we tend to not get excited about that story as we once did, and how we get more excited about the new book we're reading or the new show that's coming out or the new this or the new internet sensation or whatever it might be. We get more excited about that and we forget about the greatest story ever told. And that lined up with what in some ways what I was felt led by the Holy Spirit to share with us this morning. Joy to the world. Why? The Lord has come. Let earth receive its king. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. That started out as a poem by a guy named Isaac Watts. Wrote a lot of hymns that we know and sing, and songs that we sing back in the late 1700s, 1800s, in that time frame. And he wrote this as a poem. Later, it became part of a collection that was put to music, or one of Handel's refrains, music pieces. They put it together, and that became what we know as "Joy to the World." And I know for myself, at least, when I began to then read God's word for myself and then became a believer at a subsequent time, I began to know more about the word of God. When I would hear "Joy to the World," I would actually think to myself, is this really a Christmas song? Because when you think of the words to it, it kind of speaks almost to his second coming even more than the first. Now, it's said that Isaac Watts wrote this song, or this poem that became the song, to bring forth from from Psalm the thinking of, or the teaching of, Psalm 98. So we're going to look at that psalm this morning. It's still morning. It's 1 minute before noon. We're going to look at Psalm 98. Somebody just got a package in their ring. Don't worry, they're not going to steal it. It's interesting, Psalm 98, some psalms have that like superscription above it, like it tells us about the psalm, a psalm of David when he's chased by Saul, or psalm, but some of them don't. But this one has a cool one. You know what it says? A psalm. A psalm. Kind of like speaks for itself. It's psalm. Simply titled a psalm. And one of the things that we forget that this psalm is going to remind us of is that our sin, and we have to say that collectively, our sin, because it is our sin. There's not one sinless one that comes into this world. You may think you're all that and perfect, but you ain't. And not only aren't you all that, you're all a sinner. We're all sinners. The Bible's very clear that we are born into sin and we all commit sin. And we all fall short of God's glory. There's none of us that are righteous. No, not one. And we forget sometimes that our sin that we did commit, the sin that we're born into from Adam down, that same sin not only affects us and humanity, it affects all of creation. All of creation. All of creation is suffering under the weight of your sin, my sin. Think about that. We forget the depths of our sin. Yes, for the individual, unrepentant individual, eternal separation from God. But also, all of creation is under the weight of sin. That's how pervasive our sin is, and how all-encompassing our sin is, that it has an effect over everything God has created. God created good. You remember reading Genesis? It is good, 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 until we screwed it up. And we did. It's interesting, as we look through this psalm, that at some point we're going to circle around and talk about Mary. You see, because you came in and you say, I want to hear a Christmas message. Well, we are. Every message is a Christmas message, and an Easter message, if you will. It should be, anyway. But we're going to circle back around to the New Testament, to Luke, where Mary, upon meeting Elizabeth, and the ideas are starting to sink in of what's actually happening, sings that marvelous song that it says, we call it the Magnificat. And she talks about it and sings that. And I don't know exactly what Mary is thinking. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But at some point, you're going to see, as we look at both, and as you look at both later, that there's a lot of resemblance to Mary's song and Psalm 98. It's themes, if you will, thematically. Not the same words, but the themes are there. So let's look at this psalm for a minute. Because I don't know what Mary was thinking, but at some point, she may have been thinking of all the things that are happening to her, and this psalm came to her mind, But listen to this psalm, Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Now, we like old songs. We do. Right? Come on. You like listen to oldies. What are the oldies now? Like 2000s? Like, my oldies are still the 50s. 50s and 60s, never my oldies. But the oldies, I guess, are the 2000s now, right? Whatever. But we like old, especially Christmas time. Don't we like the traditional songs? There's nothing wrong with that. We like that. That's nice. But you know what? Our God is too marvelous and too amazing to only sing an old song. We have to sing to God a new song. Amen. A new song. We like the comfortable. We like the traditional, which is okay and it has its place. But we like it sometimes so much that we get stuck in that. Get stuck in that. You know, but the scriptures talk about so much about we need to sing to the Lord a new song. I can give you other psalms that say this. We can go into Isaiah and talk about the new song. We can go into the book of Revelation and talk about the new song that we're going to be singing when we get to glory, because the old songs just won't cut it anymore. We got to sing a new song. And why are we singing this new song? It says it right there. For he has done marvelous things. Marvelous things. The word marvelous there, it's interesting. The word marvelous there is the same Hebrew word that we get the word miracle. I don't know that we always recognize how great our God is. And how marvelous he is. This psalm says, his right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. Someone texted me this morning. I'm not going to say the name only because we're broadcasting, and I don't know if I should say it publicly, but they texted me this morning that they are in the hospital again, second time in, I think, a month. They asked for prayer. They're afraid. They said they're scared. And I reminded them, because they asked for a Christmas miracle, that our God is in the miracle business every day. And our God is awesome in power and might. And he does marvelous things by his right arm, by his hand. You know, one of the things that always strikes me when I read in the scriptures about the day of Pentecost, it always strikes me that here they are in the upper room waiting for the promise that God said, the Holy Spirit. And yes, we think about the things of the story, and we think about when they finally were up there praying and praying, and then the Holy Spirit moved and invaded that meeting, and the tongues of fire and the mighty rushing wind, and they began to speak in other languages they did not know, which is all wonderful and marvelous. And we look at that with astonishment. We say, oh, what a day that was, must have been to be there. But what did they do when all that began and transpired in their life, when the Holy Spirit filled their hearts and filled their minds and was poured out upon them? What did they do? They began to speak with other tongues, and they stayed in the room and they had a party. Some were saying, did they? No, they didn't. They went outside. And you know what they did when they went outside? Now, Peter preached later in a language they all understood. These that were speaking in the languages of all the people that were around them proclaimed the marvelous things that God had done. Because he's a marvelous God who does marvelous things. And we need to sing a new song unto him. But sometimes, as John Piper put in the devotional this morning, that we just sometimes the song gets old for us. And we forget the marvelous things he has done. Has he done anything marvelous in your life? Has he? You know, have you ever read, even in the Bible, about the marvelous things God has done? You know, it said in our scripture from John that these things were recorded that you might believe. He does marvelous things. He does miraculous things. Do you want a God who's impotent? Do you want a God who's not big enough to do things that are beyond our imagination and our mind and beyond our power? Do you want a God who's weak? No, we have a powerful God who created all things. And it requires a new song And the idea is the new song, maybe not only just a brand new song, which it is saying that, but also the same song that we know, meaning the what he has done for us, and for us it has become old, we need to revive that song and sing it fresh and new all over again. Because we tend to go, yeah, Jesus died for me, Jesus saved me, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible told me so. No, he's done marvelous things. Rejoice and sing a new song to him. What has he done for you? Well, it says in verse 2, the Lord has made known his salvation. Right off the bat, we were dead in our sins with no hope. Our sin was so grievous that we could not do anything about it, could not rectify it, could not change the situation. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. The scripture said we are separated from a holy God because of our sin, but yet he has brought to us salvation, an opportunity to be saved. He's done that. And how did he do it? Look, his righteousness he revealed in the sight of the nations, because we're not righteous. There's no righteous human being, but the one, the righteous one, became flesh. And when Jesus was born of the virgin, he was born sinless. He was the only sinless one who ever took on, you know, humanity, and he walked sinlessly. But when he went to the cross, that sinless, righteous Lamb of God, the Bible says, became sin for us. Why? So that when he took our sin upon himself, the wrath and the penalty of the Father was poured out upon him. He was the substitute. He was there in our place. And the Bible says that when we receive that finished work on his cross, then the righteousness that flowed from his side is applied to us. And we are made righteous. Stinking sinners that we are. When the blood of Jesus washes us, we are made righteous. His righteousness, he's revealed in the sight of nations. He has remembered his mercy, because we didn't deserve any of this, and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. And Jesus said, not only to Israel, because he came into his own what? Received him not. When he went to that bloody cross, he said, when I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw what? All men unto me. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Somebody say amen. Aren't you glad for that? Because if not, we'd be dead in our sin. By the way, that's marvelous. By the way, that requires a new song. By the way, that cannot get old anymore. So we would need to do what verse 4 says. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. That includes you. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord, verse 5, with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets, the sound of a horn. Sing joyfully before the Lord the King. Sing that new song, church. Sing it loud, sing it clear. Sing it every day, every moment, for the marvelous things he has done, for his salvation, for his righteousness that he's given to you. Sing it, sing it, sing it to him. And listen, not only do we get an opportunity to sing, and the, by the way, the singing isn't just with our voice, it's with our hearts, and all that is within us should praise his holy name. Amen. It's our lifestyle. But not only do we have this opportunity, in fact, I'm going to say it's not only an opportunity, but it's really a requirement because of what he's done. You should want to burst forth in song and praise to him. But listen to what it says here. Verse 7. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. The world and all those who dwell in it, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. All of creation is going to sing out. All of creation is going to burst forth in praise. Why? Verse 9, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. So when I think about this, and the more I grew up in the, you know, learning the Word of God and studying the Word of God and all those different things, the more I began to reflect upon joy to the world and let heaven and nature sing and the idea of the second coming. And I said, you know what? I think, I don't know for sure, but I think Isaac Watts had both the first and the second coming in mind. Because without the first coming, if the second coming would be the first coming, if you would follow me, if the second coming was the first coming and he came as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we'd be all dead in our sins, separated from an eternity in hell. But he came the first time to die on the cross for our salvation, to impute to us his righteousness, so that when he came the second time, all those who received what he did the first time will be able to be with him in glory. That's, yeah, somebody better clap. He deserves it. He deserves it. He deserves it. So all of creation is going to cry out. Listen to this from Romans chapter 8. Listen to this. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits, or eagerly waits, for the revealing of the sons of God. The sons of God here being all those who would be revealed as those who have followed Christ and have been born again into his family, both Old and New Testament, all those who ever come into the kingdom of God. Listen, he says they're waiting, creation's waiting for the revealing. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly. The creation didn't sin, we sinned. Creation didn't go out and rebel against God. We did. But creation is subject to that. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. The earth is groaning under the weight of our sin. The heaviness that has affected it. As beautiful and as marvelous as we still see this earth and the universe around us, we see it only through a veil that is sin. It's a fallen earth. It's a fallen creation right now because of our sin, because we fell, it has gone on to them also. We don't see it in all its original glory when God said, it is good. But the creation's waiting. It's waiting till all those who have received Christ are revealed in the day when we would be in glory, when that work is finished, and then creation will be relieved of its groaning. Listen to what Isaiah says, thinking about this time, and he speaks about it first in the view of the millennial reign, which is the coming of Jesus in his thousand-year reign, but then also in the view of eternity. Listen to these words in Isaiah 11. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf, the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand into the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There are some people to say, oh, we're in the millennium now. I'm not putting my hand in a cobra's hole, in a viper's hole. And I know if I have a lion in here, he's going to look for a zebra or me to eat, not some straw. It isn't finished yet. The work is still going on. He has not returned yet to set all this right, but it is coming. There's a time coming when this curse will be abated. It's not yet, but it's coming. So let heaven and nature what? Sing. Oh, man. Just for fun. Bear with me for some fun. Scriptures. I can give a lot of them, but here's just some. 1 Chronicles 16, right? First verse 23 says, sing to the Lord and proclaim his salvation. Then later in that same chapter, David's writing, why? Verses 31 to 33. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns, let the sea resound, and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, then the trees will sing for joy before the Lord. We went to see a Christmas display the other day, and they had a singing tree, but that's not what they're talking about. That singing tree was actually kind of creepy. Could you imagine when the trees are singing praises to God? I was ready to give a Lord of the Rings reference, but I won't, because some of you will be like, what's he talking about? Yeah, but I won't. I'll hold that for another time. Look at Isaiah 44. Sing for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, O earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests, all you trees, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and he displays his glory in Israel. Creation shouting out, praising its creator. This is Isaiah 55. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees will clap their hands. Woo! It's coming. It's coming. Jesus put an exclamation point on this. When he came and he was on this earth, and he allowed that day, right before his crucifixion, the beginning of that week, when he then fully said, I'm going to offer myself to Israel as their king, he rode in, we call Palm Sunday, right? And we know what happened then. There were some people crying out, right? Ultimately, they rejected him, right? And during the middle of that week, crucify him. But he came in to make that proclamation, here I am, your king, right? The people, many of them, were singing Hosanna and praising God. And the religious leaders came out. Those stinking religious leaders always, they mess things up. They came out and they said, Jesus, tell them to be quiet. Tell your people to be quiet. He says, if these be silent, the rocks will cry out. Because somebody's going to praise the Lord. And it better be us. So let's just circle back around as we bring this together. To Mary, her song. Luke 1. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Please read it today, tonight, or whatever. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Now read the rest of that when you get home, and then come back to Jersey tonight for us to rejoice some more after you've read it, and do that. See, I dropped that in there so you remind me. Listen to what Mary did. I don't know. What Mary was thinking through all of this. I mean, think about it. Here she is minding her own business, a young girl, engaged to Joseph with the instructions, you're engaged, but you don't have sex until you're married, and you can't, you got to be faithful to him. And now all of a sudden, the angel comes to her and says, you're going to have a baby. And she says, how's that possible? I don't know a man. I've never been with a man. He says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Tells her this marvelous news that she's going to bear this child. What did she know? I don't know. What was she thinking? We could only imagine. I kind of think that she, at some point when she left her home and went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who the angel told her was an older woman who naturally had a child in her old age with her husband. That was a miraculous birth only in the way that, they were very old and past the time, but they had normal relations, sexual relations, and he was born, John the Baptist was born the normal way. But she went up to see Elizabeth, and when they get there, the story, the baby jumps in Elizabeth's womb because the Messiah is now in the vicinity, and he's the one who proclaimed the Messiah, and Elizabeth begins to prophesy, then Mary sings this song. And what was she thinking about? I don't know, but she may have been thinking about all of creation and all of humanity in their sin, because she says, and I think she began to understand Genesis chapter 3. Because she says, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. She knew that all the earth needed a Savior, that all humanity needed a Savior, that all of creation needed a Savior. And I think that started to come alive in her heart. She knew she herself needed a Savior. I think she began to understand the weight of all the creation that was under because of the curse, because of man's sin. And maybe she began to understand that the only way this curse could be removed is that the seed of the woman would one day, this is back in Genesis 3, that the seed of the woman would come one day to crush the head of the serpent. And you say, well, wait a minute, what's that all about? Well, see, biologically speaking, the women don't carry seed. The man carries the seed. But she was never with a man. So the prophecy came true because God overshadowed her, the Holy Spirit, that the seed of the woman would come forth from her who never knew a man, and that seed would be Jesus Christ, and he would crush the head of the Satan. He would crush the head of the one the Bible says held because of our sin, the power of sin and death. So think about this a minute. I don't know everything that Mary knew, but think about this. This stuff's all going through her head. It's all going through her mind. Maybe she finally began to understand and the scriptures were coming back to her. Maybe Psalm 98 came into her heart. Maybe she began to think of Isaiah 7:14 and the fulfillment in her. For therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What's that mean? God with us. Maybe she began to finally comprehend that she was going to be the vessel that God was going to use to bring the Messiah into the world. I don't know what she knew. I don't know what she fully understood. I don't know. You know, as the popular song goes, you know, Mary, did you know? What did she know? Did she know that one day her son would walk on water? I don't know. Did she know that her baby would give sight to a blind man, that he would calm the storm with his hand? Did she comprehend at that moment that though something amazing and special was happening, that this was the child that would come to her, that was the one that walked amongst the angels that he created? I don't know. Would she recognize that when she kissed her little born baby that she was kissing the face of God? I don't know. You know, as the song goes on, you know, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. What did Mary know? I don't know. I could only imagine trying to put myself in her place. Did she understand that this baby being born to her, though she knew it was something special, was in the flesh the God of all creation? Think about that for a moment. Heaven's perfect Lamb, the great I Am, in her hands. Think about this. Let it run through your mind, because if the song has gotten stale to you, I want the song to burst forth new again in your mind and in your hearts. That God, the author of creation, would come into his own creation. Think about that. So that by coming into his creation, he could redeem his creation from the sin that we had caused, so that we could one day come back to him in glory when there be no weight or scar of sin any longer. It'll all be gone. I don't know what you know. We can't. Except what we revealed, what is revealed in Scripture. I know this much because Scripture says it. I know this much. She knew enough and understood enough to say, my soul will magnify the Lord. Magnify. Highly esteem, to make him greater in respect and honor and in significance. Mary said, because of what this is thing that is happening to me, because I understand enough to know what it's going to do to all of the generations and all the people to come after me, and even the ones that preceded me, and to all of creation, that I begin to grasp this thing, I am not going to remain silent. Mary did not say, oh, thank you very much, angel. Now that you ruined my life, and now that everybody's going to be talking about me, and they're all going to say nasty things about me, I'm going to go hide in some hole in some cave for 9 months. Mm-mm. in spite of the shame that she would encounter and the ridicule that she would encounter and the call, all the talking about her that she would encounter, she said, my soul's going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to make his name greater than it already is in my life. I'm going to shout it out and make him known to everybody. I'm not going to remain silent. In spite of what this old world thinks, in spite of all them singing their old songs, I'm going to sing a new song. Because God is doing a new and marvelous thing. So what did she know? We don't know. But I know she knew enough to magnify God. The question really for us today is, what do you know? What do I know? What do we know? Do we know what God has done? Do we know the marvelous things he has done in our life? Can we testify that God himself broke through heaven and creation to come into this creation, to reach down his hands for you, to reveal himself to you, to make himself known to you? Who am I? She said, who am I? We say this, and who are we that God would do that for me? You might be here today and say, I don't know or care anything about God, but guess what? God knows enough and loves you enough that you're here today or listening online to hear this message so that you can have an opportunity to know that Jesus did some marvelous things. And the reason he did all those things is that you would believe in him and you would receive him as your Savior and have eternal life with him. That's how much he loves you. What do you know? What do you know? Do you know today that there's something within your heart that you are missing something? A lot of people know they're missing something. And they think that they could find it in something that this world offers. I tried. Many of you have tried. But guess what? You're never going to find the missing thing until you look from yourself to the God of all creation who came into this creation to save you from your sins. And that's the gospel message. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But do you know enough today, first and foremost, to say, yes, I've received that forgiveness. And I want to magnify the Lord today and sing a new song every day of my life as long as he gives me breath. And will you say today, you know what? I didn't know this before, but I know something now, and I want to find out more. Well, then, pick this up. Jesus has done marvelous things, and you'll find them in here. And his desire is to do marvelous things in your life and to show you the marvelous things he has done, that you would believe that he is the Christ, the Messiah, and that when you believe in him for your salvation, you will have eternal life. It's all there for you. Will you take it? Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for the reminder of the new song, Lord. Oh, Lord, we want to sing all the oldies all the time, Lord. We want to have the things the way we always have them. But, Lord, you're worthy of a new song. Father, with the oldies amongst us, the ones that have been saved for a while, would a new song birth forth from their hearts today? And with those today that are here that have never yet become a child of God, has not yet have become a child of God, would they today hear this song? And to them it's new. Maybe for the first time they're beginning to comprehend and understand the weight of their sin in their life and over all creation, and that they have a way to escape that if they would just turn to the God of all creation who became flesh and embrace not only the child, but the old rugged cross that child would go to. And that in embracing that cross, know that you paid the penalty for their sin there. You shed your blood so that, Lord God, they would have an opportunity to be saved and born into your kingdom and have eternal life. So, Lord, we put this all in your hands today. Father, we look forward to reconvening tonight so that we can sing more songs unto you and praises unto you. We look forward today leaving here and be able to proclaim to someone that we would encounter today or this week the marvelous things that you have done, to share what you have done in our life. And we look forward to the fruit of those conversations when we will see and hear the testimony of many who have come to believe because of the things that you have done that we have recounted through them. And that we will give joy to you as we sing this new song together in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's rejoice. I look forward to seeing you guys tonight.